The fiddling as Rome burns quality to markets versus consumer sentiment. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. Consumer sentiment plunged 19% in April, according to the closely watched University of Michigan index that's out in the last day. Yet, the stock market, boom, not down but up. Let's run this past Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning.
Good morning.
I mean, it's the Wall Street Journal that did the math here, but you have yesterday's consumer sentiment index, University of Michigan, widely watched. It falls through the floor for April, yet at the same time, the S&P 500 is up 13%. I mean, out of sync?
What we're seeing is the stock market responding to all of the actions that were taken to keep the economy going. There's been a massive explosion in liquidity, and we're able to prop up all of the mechanics to keep money flowing, and investors need to stay invested. Therefore, they continue to put money back into the market, and those indices keep going up.
So on the market's better days, those decisions are being made more on the future than our own moment-to-moment lived reality.
Most definitely. Investors have moved past what's happening this quarter, next quarter, and really 2020. They're looking out to 2021. They have much more confidence that these publicly traded companies are going to be able to bridge the gap into 2021 and back to normalized earnings. And in addition, remember, institutional investors need to stay invested. They don't have the option of going to cash and waiting it out. Their job is to be invested. With interest rates so low, fixed income isn't necessarily a great place for them for long-term capital gains, and they are back in the stock market looking to that as their best alternative.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities Aviva Investors. She's in the Chicago office. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Shall we do the numbers? The Dow is up 279 points, 1.1% now. The S&P 500 up 0.4%, but the NASDAQ is down 81 points, 0.9%. Crude oil is down about 2% now, $33.64 a barrel. Now, here's a way I think to make money. Bet someone to see if they know the difference between the brands HBO Go, HBO Now, and the one that launches today called HBO Max. Rule of thumb, you can remember Max because it costs more and because it has Netflix pretensions, Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
AT&T is attempting to redefine the HBO brand, from the home of The Sopranos, Sex and the City, and Game of Thrones, to a far broader entertainment offering that can rival the likes of Netflix, Disney Plus, and Amazon. HBO Max will have the HBO shows customers expect, but also new original content and an archival trove that includes Batman movies and sitcoms such as Friends and The Big Bang Theory, all properties in the Time Warner empire that AT&T purchased 2 years ago. Many Americans are looking for more content to stream while staying home, benefiting streamers like Netflix, where subscriptions are up. But HBO Max does have a disadvantage. It will cost more, $15 a month, compared to Netflix's cheapest $9 plan. AT&T will offer promotional discounts and is planning a cheaper ad-supported version of the new service. It hopes to sign up 80 million subscribers around the world in the next 5 years. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The distant hum that's returned to the background is a sign of a modest uptick in economic activity this month compared to April. This as lockdown states work their way through phased reopenings. Today, one of the Federal Reserve banks, the one in Richmond, Virginia, updates manufacturing in its region. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Manufacturers of autos and aircraft, oil and gas producers have all been hit hard by plummeting business and consumer spending. Even in sectors where demand is still high, like food processing, the virus has sickened workers and slowed production. Arun Sundaram at CFRA Research says some meatpacking plants shut down, retooled, and reopened.
Not to the full capacity pre-COVID-19. There's still challenges keeping workers safe, social distancing within the plants.
Increased automation using robots could be a solution to crowded hands-on production lines. But Ned Hill at the Manufacturing Institute at Ohio State University says in the near term, don't bet on it.
I don't expect to see lots of capital investment. Companies right now are trying to pay attention to their burn rate on cash to make certain that they could stay open.
Manufacturers laid off 1.3 million workers in April. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Here's where the guy comes on the radio to tell you to worry about something else. In shut-down office buildings and schools, the water in the pipes has just been sitting there. Bacteria can grow. The EPA has issued guidance for when people go back. Daniel Ackerman has more.
So which water systems are at risk?
All of them. So any building that has had less water use than normal is going to have some sort of water quality deterioration.
Caitlin Proctor is a microbiologist at Purdue University. She co-authored a report raising concerns about lead and copper buildup, but she's especially worried about certain kinds of bacteria with fancy scientific names.
These include Legionella pneumophila, Mycobacterium avium.
One way to kill off bad bugs is shock disinfection. That's when an engineer floods the pipes with a boatload of bleach before people start using the water again. But that can cost tens of thousands of dollars per building. Proctor says there's a cheaper alternative.
The best way to prevent these kind of issues is to keep the water moving.
With people gone, keep the taps and other plumbing fixtures on. Simple enough for a standalone office building, but what if you run, say, a massive university campus with a marathon's length of water pipe and north of 100 buildings? Can you really keep all those toilets flushing?
Actually, we are.
Gary Rudolph is Senior Utilities Manager at the University of Central Florida. Usually, campus plumbing serves 40,000 students, but now things are...
Sort of quiet.
With no students, letting the water run is a full-time job. Maintenance crews visit each building every other week.
Making sure that all the urinals are flushed, the toilets are flushed, the faucets are run.
It's essential work that costs $1,300 a day in labor. But Rudolph says the empty school is using water at two-thirds its normal rate.
If there's any showers in the building, we run those.
While it's resources down the drain, he hopes it'll save them from ponying up for shock disinfection down the line.
And when people come back to campus, it'll be just normal. You just come back, take a shower, drink the water, do whatever you normally do when they were here before.
Still no word on when students will be back to do the flushing. I'm Daniel Ackerman for Marketplace.
And now a brief lesson in the sort of deflationary psychology that can lay an economy low. This morning at our first editorial meeting, we were talking about the news that Tesla is cutting its electric car prices by as much as 6%, which prompted Meredith, the producer, to say the words, "Brian should have waited." Brian is a guy we know who already bought the cheapest Tesla. If, said Brian, had kept waiting for prices to get lower because he thinks prices will be on the skids for a long time, he'll never buy a car. And economists worry that hurts consumption in a way we've seen for decades in Japan. Now, we do not test on these little lessons, which brings me to subscribe to our Econ Extra Credit newsletter, marketplace.org/newsletters. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.